We are excited to be here at church this morning. Welcome to Grace Point. If this is your first time here, we are so excited to have you with us. My name is Zach, and I have the great honor and great privilege of leading our student ministry alongside my wife, Savannah, who is my better half. Shout out to her. These last couple weeks that I've been preaching, she's just been full-blown taking care of the kids on Sunday morning. So if y'all could give her a little thanks this morning. It's a hard thing. It's hard enough with one kid, but then you got two, and then she's telling me we need to have four. I'm like, no way. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever seen somebody with four toddlers? Did they look happy? No. No. They didn't look too happy. Well, I'm excited this morning to be with you guys. We're going to continue our series on good news, good God, because God is good. And all the time. Amen. This half of the room is awake this morning. This half of the room, I need y'all to wake up a little bit. That's okay. We love you. We're glad you're here. Just get some coffee. You'll be good. But I just want to continue this series on the goodness of God. You know, I talked about last week, I always love to say God is good all the time. And all the time God is good because it's such a good reminder of the goodness of God. But what happens sometimes, and especially as Christians who attend church regularly, we talk about the goodness of God, but sometimes we have a hard time really believing it, right? Like we say it, we know it, we understand it, but when it comes to our Monday mornings, right? When it comes to the Tuesday afternoon stuck in traffic, when it comes to the Thursday night phone call where all of a sudden, suddenly someone's in the hospital and it was an unexpected sickness that just came upon us, whatever it may be, God is good in our lives, but in our lives, we shall go through trouble, amen? Jesus told us, hey, we're going to have trouble. And this morning, as I was preparing the sermon for today, I really felt the Holy Spirit just speaking to me that Jesus is coming back. And what he's working on right now amongst the body of Christ, not just in Grace Point, but amongst every church, is he's pruning. He's pruning this morning. He doesn't want to come back and his bride not be ready, right? He's coming back for a ready bride to receive him so that all can come into the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. So this morning, if you guys could, if you could stand with me, we're going to turn to our foundation text and Psalm chapter 107 this morning, and we're going to start with verses 1 through 9. We should have it on the screen for you. Thank you, media team. Y'all are awesome. And if we could, let's just read this all together, all right? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that we get to come together in the house of the Lord Jesus. And we just invite your spirit into the room this morning. God, I pray for no spirit but the Holy Spirit, that God, you would fill this room, that God, as we come together as the body of Christ, that Lord, we would grow together, that we would receive your word. God, you are the superstar in the room today, Jesus. We lift up your name. God, we magnify you. And Father, we ask that you work in our lives this morning, God, and do the work that only you could do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You can grab a seat. So I do believe God wants to continue the work that he's doing in our lives. I don't know about you guys, but I've been feeling it in my own life where Jesus has been pruning my life. Jesus has been looking at my life and saying, hey, Zach, some of those things that you were doing back then, you can't do now in this season that I'm calling you in. You know, last week we were talking about the goodness of God, and it's important for us to understand that God is good and to believe that. Because remember, if we don't believe that God is good, we're going to have a very hard time following God, right? You know, it's one thing when someone says, hey, follow me, I know the way. You have to have a lot of confidence in that person to believe that they actually know what they're talking about, right? If you're like, man, every time I ride with this person, they're taking the wrong turn. What do you say? You say, nah, I'm not going to follow you, right? You follow me, okay? And so you have to have this confidence in knowing that when God is leading our lives, he's leading us in a good way. And we talked about last week this idea of what you believe about Jesus is the single most important thing in your entire life. It is the single most important thing in your entire life. It's more important than who you marry. It's more important than your children. It's more important than your job and your families and the things that you go through in your life. The single most important thing in your entire life, the thing that's going to decide the most in your entire life, is what do you believe about Jesus? John chapter 3, we know verse 16. We're going to read it again today. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." But watch what verse 17 and 18 says. We talked about this last week. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son." Do you see that? Do you see that? The condemnation or the salvation in our lives is strictly based in our belief about Jesus. It's strictly based on our belief about Jesus. And so we have to walk in that. We have to walk in that understanding. But the thing about God is all throughout Scripture, he describes himself as our Heavenly Father, right? As our Heavenly Father. "For God so loved the world, he sent his Son, Jesus." We know Jesus is our Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Son. But we know that there's also our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, it's something that we really need to understand and someone that we really need to have an appreciation for as the Scriptures describe it. Because as 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 through 18 says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Amen. "Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." And then watch what verse 18 says. "And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." I love that because God is giving us the picture of our relationship with him. We must understand we are God's children, and God wants good things for his children. God wants good things for his children. I'm obviously a dad, and you know, this past few weeks has been one of my favorite times of the year because, you know, there's that excitement that you experience when you receive a gift, but there's a different kind of excitement when you're a parent and you got your little kids, and you get to like pick out that perfect gift for them, and you know they're going to be excited when they open that thing up, so you don't mind the fight that you have on Christmas Eve when you're setting up a bike, because she's going to be so excited about it in the morning. And when the morning comes, she comes around the corner, and we got the bike all set up, and she is just like out of her mind, ecstatic and excited, and it's like that one brief moment in parenting where they just give you that big hug, and they're like, "I love you so much, thank you," and it's like, "Oh, it's all worth it." And then they go back to the crying and the tantrums, right? That's real life. But in a similar way, you know, the Bible tells us if we love our own children this way, how much more does our Heavenly Father love us? That if we're wicked, if we have flaws, if we're not perfect, but even in our imperfection, even in our inability to love the way that we should love, even in that, if we can love our children well, how much more does God love us? How much more does our Heavenly Father desire good things for us? How much more does our Heavenly Father want our lives to look good, to experience good, to experience faithfulness, to experience the blessings of God? We talked about this verse last week in Psalm chapter 103, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul," and watch this, "and forget not all his benefits." Forget not all his benefits. You see, there's a benefit in our relationship with the Lord. There's something to be gained in our walk with Jesus. There's something to be gained in our relationship with God. You know, Scripture is very clear that when we're following Jesus, we should count the cost. We should understand what it means when we follow Jesus, that it's not some flippant decision that we make on a Sunday morning and we just raise my hand real quick and put it back down so nobody's looking and my life doesn't change and nothing looks different. That's not what it means to follow Jesus. See, Scripture tells us that when we're deciding to follow Jesus, there should be a turning in our hearts and our minds. There should be a turning in the way that we live our lives. There should be a turning in our thinking and our function and the way that we do things. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect, but it does mean that we're following something different. We're following someone different. But it's important for us to understand that it's not just leaving things behind. You know, we talked about last week how we have to let go of some of the things in our lives that in order to make room for what God wants to give us. So we have to push those things aside. That's why Scripture is very clear about sin, why he's very clear in his word about the things that do not belong in the life of a believer. And so in life, when you start following Christ, there's going to be some things that you have to leave behind. But understand this, church, and I want to preach to you this morning. God's not just having you leave it behind for no reason. God wants to give you good things. I'm about to say a word that I'm nervous about. Let me take a drink of water before I do it. Because it's almost like a Christian cuss word, okay? So y'all give me a second. I'm about to preach a big word in our church this morning that isn't often talked about. And when it is talked about, people start to get a little tight. The room starts to get a little tight. But I'm about to say a word this morning that God wanted me to share with you guys this morning. And it's this word right here. It's this word, prosperity. That God wants you to prosper. That God wants to have good things happen in your life. Not just in this life, but also the next life when we're in heaven. Amen. But what happens sometimes as Christians is we hear this word prosperity. And what happens, our walls go up. Now, let me help you this morning, okay, because we're going to talk about prosperity, and we're going to talk about the things that God gives us, but let me just help you this morning. The last time I checked, when I pulled up into the parking lot this morning, I was not driving a Bentley, okay? I drive a 2007 FJ, and my wife drives a 2018 Honda, and if you look around the staff in this church, in this congregation, nobody's got millions of dollars. There are no private jets. We're not living in mansions. None of those things are going on, so let's loosen up a little bit, okay, as we talk about prosperity this morning, because what Satan would like to do, nothing more, is to take something that God wants to give us and twist it. And so let me warn you something this morning, church. Don't allow the people of the world who are misusing the word of God in order to finance these insane, crazy lifestyles. Don't allow those things to turn you away from the blessings that God wants to give you, because God does call us to sacrifice, but he also calls us to abundance. Amen. Amen. Just to help you, church, this morning, as we talk about this idea of prosperity and this idea that God does want to bless us, that God does desire good things for his church, that God does desire for our lives to have a benefit to it. I want to read some verses about prosperity this morning. And so we've got some verses on the screen here in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3. Watch what it says. It says, "And keep charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. Watch that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn." Watch what Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 says. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." I want to pause right there. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3 is one of my life verses. Because when I look at my life, I want people to say he was like a tree. He was like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His life was rooted in Jesus, and he lived his life in such a way that it brought forth fruit that blessed other people. I have a great example of this in my life. It's actually the namesake of my son. My grandfather, Matthew, was a great man who did a lot of hard things for the benefit of his family. And we were able to look at the end of his life, and it was a beautiful thing because he didn't die with a whole bunch of money. He didn't die with the mansion. He didn't die with any of that. But you know what did happen? He died in a room full of his family who all love Jesus. And guess what? He loves Jesus, church. And so guess what? We're all going to see Jesus together in heaven one day. And I can say that his life was a rich, prosperous life. And that's how I want my life to be. Another verse in Jeremiah 29:11, we talked about this last week, and this is a verse we all know well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? And not to harm you, plans to give you hope in a future. Now, Pastor, I love those verses. Those verses are great, but Pastor Zach, those are, I know you're just a youth pastor, and you're still growing in your walk and your faith, but those are just the Old Testament verses, and we live under a new covenant now, and God doesn't work that way anymore. Well, I got you, okay? We got some New Testament verses for you right here, okay? So just come along with me in this Bible journey, okay? The Bible is a great book. You got to read it, all right? John chapter 10, verse 10. I got it in red because these are the words that Jesus spoke. Watch this. He says, The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it in all of its fullness. Other translations say that they may have life and have it abundantly. May have it abundantly. I want to pause right there too, because what happens so often in our faith and in our walk with Christ is we reread the scriptures that only talk about suffering, and we are supposed to suffer for Christ. We are supposed to go through things in our walk with Jesus, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But what the enemy likes to do, watch that language right there. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. What the enemy likes to do is he likes to come in and he likes to make the blessings of God a dirty thing. And so when God's trying to pour out some blessings in your life, he's having a hard time doing it because you believe that that's Satan working in your life, because Satan is the one making it where we have money. And Satan is, and that's not the case. That's not the case. Jesus is working in your life when these blessings come. God is a good God who desires to give good things to his children. The Bible tells us that all good things come from the Lord. So don't allow the thief to steal, kill, and destroy the blessings that God is trying to give you in your life. And I'm not, let me pause too. I'm not just talking about monetary blessings, because it's real easy sometimes, especially in American church, to talk about blessings, to talk about prosperity, and think it just means a six-figure paycheck. To think it just means all the money in my bank account and I can go eat at the nice restaurants and do the nice things. When the Bible is talking about prosperity, it does include that. But what it's also talking about is the fullness and the joy and the peace and the things that only come from our relationship with Jesus Christ. So be careful, church. Don't allow the thief to steal the good things in your life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says it like this. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your what? Your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And then I love third John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Do you see that separation there? Just as your soul prospers, but prosper in all things. See, it's important that we understand this, because I don't want you to be fooled. Because when you follow Jesus, yes, you do leave some things behind. Yes, your life will change. Yes, sometimes that means you'll have to stop being a part of those friend groups, not because they're necessarily bad people, but they're doing sinful things. Yes, that means that sometimes you're going to have to change your habits. You can't hit Friday night at the clubs anymore when you're following Jesus, because Jesus isn't, he's not chilling in the club with you like that. He's like, the Holy Spirit's like, what are you doing in this club, man? What are we doing? Why are we trying to get drunk? What's going on? Our life will change, but God desires for us to prosper in all things just as our soul prospers. But can I tell you, church, most people have a really hard time believing this. If I'm honest, I have a hard time believing this. My wife will tell you that I have no problem trying to be a blessing to other people, but I have a really hard time receiving blessings. I have a really hard time receiving gifts. I have a really hard time asking for help. It's just not something that I'm accustomed to doing. It makes me feel uncomfortable, quite frankly. It makes me feel awkward. I don't know what to do with it. I'm not really used to that. And so with that, I feel like I'm like a lot of people where, you know, we know these things about God. We believe them to be true when we read the text, when we read the scripture. But when we're walking through our daily lives, we're like, yeah, God wants to bless people, but he wants to bless them more than he really wants to bless me. Yeah, God did that amazing thing in that person's life and God healed them and we were praying for that and we were believing in faith that God was going to do that thing. And that's great for them, but God just is, I guess he's just called me to suffering. And he might have. I don't want to lie to you this morning. He might have, but be careful not to talk yourself out of what God is trying to do in your life. You have to come to Jesus in faith. You have to come to Jesus in faith. But the truth of it, guys, is a lot of us have a hard time believing that God wants to do things in our lives. And I believe the single most reason this is the case is because of the hardships that we experience in our life. The truth is, church, when we go through hard things, when we go through difficult things, when we struggle, when our life goes off the rails and things don't make sense anymore, we start to question, God, are you really working? God, are you really doing what you said you're doing in my life? You know, I have a story real quick where something like this happened in my life where I thought I was following God and it was insanely hard. You see, when my wife and I, we got engaged pretty quickly. As a matter of fact, we do a lot of things quickly. And so within a span of 10 days while we were dating, we got engaged. We said yes to a job at a church that was across the country. And then we loaded up a truck and moved across the country all in the span of 10 days. And so it was a lot. It was a lot that happened during that time span. And it was an interesting time because we definitely knew that God was telling us to do it. But what we had a hard time with and what I had a hard time with was how difficult it actually ended up being. You see, during this time, we got engaged. And that's a whole testimony and a story on its own. Maybe we'll tell that someday. But aside from that, she lived in, I think it was Waxahachie at the time. And so I had to pack up a U-Haul. And in one single day, we had to drive from Paris to Waxahachie to load up all her stuff in a U-Haul. And then once we were done loading up all her stuff, I had to drive from Waxahachie back to Paris to load up the rest of my stuff in the U-Haul. And then the very next morning, we were supposed to head out and drive to Maryland. And we're doing this, and it was stressful, y'all. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of things happening. And it was tough. And what made it even more tough is during this time, I had a double infection because my wisdom teeth were acting up. And so I never had any problems at all with anything with my teeth until that week. And I had this double infection in my mouth. And I couldn't eat. You ever have to move stuff on an empty stomach? I was moving stuff on an empty stomach. And I was hangry. And I was hurting because my mouth was hurting. I didn't have time to go to the dentist yet because I had to get all these things done. And so I couldn't do anything about the infection. And I remember after I loaded my wife's stuff up, I was driving and I was just so hungry and I was in pain and I was like, oh, what's going on? And I was on my way back to Paris and I stopped in Greenville because I saw a Smoothie King. And I was like, I can't eat actual food because it hurts my mouth. So let me order a smoothie. And so y'all went through that drive-thru and I ordered the biggest peanut butter strawberry milkshake that I could possibly order. I mean, that thing was like that big. I'm not even kidding. I put it in the U-Haul. And I was so excited. I took a sip of it. I was like, oh man, this thing tastes amazing. This thing is good. I'm going to feel full. I'll be good. And I remember I was getting back onto the interstate and I'm on this green light and I'm in this U-Haul and U-Hauls don't always turn too easy. And so the cup holders are really shallow. Y'all see what's about to happen. And so I go to turn this U-Haul and I'm starving and I'm hurting and I'm just excited that this milkshake's about to make it better. And as I'm making this turn with this U-Haul, man, I kid you not, this milkshake that was probably like at least this high up from the table, it just goes boom all over the U-Haul, all over my pants, all over the floor. And man, if I could just be honest with you, church, I lost it. I lost it. I'm not gonna lie to you. Your pastor was cussing in that U-Haul by myself. I was just like, Jesus, what the heck is going on? And I'm crying and I'm hungry and I'm in pain. And I'm like,
just so frustrated. I'm like, God, I don't understand. I'm cleaning the milkshake off the stupid U-Haul because I got to return it. I'm like, God, I know I'm doing what you called me to do. God, why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Why is it that when I'm doing the very thing that you told me to do and you affirmed it and you said, this is it, this is the plan I have for you and your wife, and this is the plan and the purpose that I've assigned you to in this season, God, why is it so daggum difficult? And I have my own little milkshake moment in the middle of this U-Haul van. And I'm reminded, you know, we read Psalm chapter 107 yesterday and today, and we stopped at verse 9 where it says, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. But we stopped. And so often we stop. Because watch what happens in verse 10 through 15. It says, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. Watch this. For they had rebelled against the word of God. Even though God had done good things in their life, they rebelled. And they spurned the counsel of the Most High. Watch this. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. It goes on two more times to describe this cycle in Psalm chapter 107, where people who love God and who have experienced the goodness of God in their lives begin to stray. And so God in his goodness, and so God in his faithfulness, and so God as our Heavenly Father looked at his people and said, I desire good things for them, and they've strayed. And so what I got to do to get them back is I got to make things hard. And it hit me. It hit me because verse 43 says this, whoever is wise, let them attend to these things and let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And it hit me, God, why do you allow these hard things to happen in our lives? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. It said this, God will make your life hard because he loves you. God will allow your life to get hard at times because he loves you. And in the same way, God will make your life good because he loves you. You got to understand something, church. God's not necessarily concerned with our temporary experience. What God cares about the most, God's ultimate desire, God's pressing need that shakes him to his core, God's ultimate desire is to spend eternity with all of us in heaven. His ultimate desire is to restore the relationship that was lost in Genesis chapter 2. When we decided that we didn't need God, when we decided that we were going to turn from God, when we decided that other things are more valuable than the things of God in our lives, and God's looking down at us in heaven, and he said, I got to do something about this. I've got to fix this. I've got to change this. And so I'm going to send my son, Jesus. And John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18 says that God so loved the world that he sent his son, whoever believes is not condemned, and whoever does not believe is condemned. And so God is looking at our lives, and he's saying, I sent my son, Jesus, to fix this, but watch, some of them still don't believe. What does that mean? You're condemned. And God's looking at us and he's saying, I got to get their attention. And I don't care what it takes. While they're still breathing, if I got to make their life hard, I will make their life hard. And while they're still breathing, if I got to give them blessings, I will give them blessings. Whatever it takes to get their intention. And I love it because it's echoed in Psalm chapter 106. It says, both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. Watch, they did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but they rebelled. And watch what verse 20 says. They exchanged the glory of God for an idol. They forgot God, their Savior. And what's crazy is in verse 24 and 25 of Psalm chapter 106, it says they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They murmured in their tents, and they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Many times, verse 43, he delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes, and they were brought low through their iniquity. I came this morning, church, to tell somebody in 2025 that the reason that your life was so hard in 2024 is because you've been running from God. You've been running from God. You have not allowed God to work in your life. You have not allowed God to do the things that he wants to do in your life. You have not submitted to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit said, lay that thing down, you were like the rich young ruler that we talked about last week. You went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And I'm reminded the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 10 when he was talking to that young ruler. Remember what we said? Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him. And Jesus spoke a word to this rich young ruler that hurt him and that cut him. But the Bible tells us that Jesus did it in love. That God did it in love. It's a hard word. To be honest, guys, it's a hard thing to understand. How could God make my life harder? Because God loves us. How could God allow these things to happen? Because God loves us. How could God allow these terrible things around the world to take place? Because God loves us and he desires all to seek him. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Hebrew tells us that he's not being slow in coming back. He's not being slow in allowing the rapture to happen. But we talked about this last week. He's slow because he desires all to repent and to turn to him. He doesn't want a single person to go to hell. He doesn't want a single person to not have relationship with him. He doesn't want a single person to not understand the goodness of God, that this is good news. To seek and to save the lost. He wants to do something in your life, church. And so you have to make a decision. You have to stop ignoring him. Pastor Zach, this is intense. Well, it's serious stuff. And it's the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. So what better way, church, to start off this new year than to say, you know what? I'm seeking Jesus. I'm not going to allow anything to get in the way of that. So whatever it takes, if I have to go through hardship because God is trying to prune me and disciple me and teach me what it means to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, then so be it. And if it means good things, that's fun too. We like the good things. But God would not be a good father if he did not discipline us. God would not be a good father if he did not prune us. Church, if you could stand with me. It's short today. It's short today because I just wanted to get to the point. We've got to stop ignoring the Lord. We've got to hear the voice of the Lord. This morning as I was praying and seeking Jesus, I was reminded in Revelation how the bride says, come. How the Spirit says, come. I was even listening to a song that says, come, Jesus, come. Church, I believe that Jesus is coming back soon. I do. And I might be wrong, but what I do know is I'm probably going to be dying soon. At most, I'm promised 80 years, 90, 100 if I'm lucky. One way or another, I've got to turn to Jesus. And so do you. And so I encourage you this morning with the words we find in Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. It says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And then watch this verse 20. Oh my goodness, he is so good. Verse 20, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Church, you might be hurting this morning, and that might be exactly where you need to be. Because God's been trying to get your attention. And God is so good that when we turn to him, his promise to us is that times of refreshment will come. The Holy Spirit wants to remind you this morning that yes, right now it might feel like the words of Jesus did to the rich young ruler, that it's a painful double-edged sword that is cutting through bone and marrow right to the heart. And it might be a painful surgery and a painful process this morning, but God is telling you, hey, just trust me because I'm good. Just trust me because I'm faithful. It says that all the hardship that they went through in Psalm chapter 106 and Psalm chapter 107, it was because of the steadfast love of the Lord that he allowed these things to happen. I love the words of Paul, because when he's writing to the Corinthians, he tells them, there's many things I could write to you. There's many things that I could say. There's many things that I could teach you. But oh, one thing that you would grab a hold of, the ever-increasing knowledge of the love of the Lord, that you would understand how deep and how wide and how good and how faithful and how strong the love of Jesus is for the bride of Christ. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. He died on the cross for you. So stop running. Stop ignoring him. Stop pushing him off. Say, you know what? I don't care what my friends do. I don't care what my family does. I am following Jesus. If that is you this morning, raise your hands in the air. Jesus, we come to you this morning. Father, we don't need a special invitation. God, we don't need a special invite. God, we don't need a special moment. God, we come to you because, Lord, you are special. Because, God, you are King of Kings. God, because there is nobody else like you. That, Father, you are worthy of our lives. That, Lord, like Scripture says, we come to you and we lay down our crowns low. And, God, it's not about us. And so, Father, we submit our lives to you. And God, I thank you that you're a good God. That you're a good, faithful, loving, heavenly Father. And God, you desire to give good things to us. And this morning, Lord, I pray that we would believe it. I pray, Jesus, that we would receive it. God, I pray that we would walk in it. That, Father, there is healing that you desire to do in people's lives. That, God, there is breakthrough that you desire to do in people's lives. God, that there is freedom that you desire to do in people's lives. That, God, you're just waiting for us to come to you. God, we say no more. God, we say no more. No longer shall we push you off. No longer shall we ignore you. God, let this year be the year that we can say, from this point forward, I'm trusting in Jesus. I don't care what the world does. I don't care what other people do. I'm following Jesus. God, we submit to you this morning. And God, I believe you want to do great things in our lives. God, we invite you in this morning. I just want to say, God is looking for a church that will say yes to him. And I'm not even talking about a building. I'm talking capital C. I'm talking body of Christ. I'm looking for the remnant. I'm looking for the people that are saying, God, use my life. Let my life be a difference maker. Let my life be the thing that experiences change, God, that I can bring change, that I can bring the hands and the feet of Jesus and the fragrance of Christ into every room that I walk, so that when I meet somebody who's sick, I can pray for them and that they would be healed. When I meet somebody who isn't saved, I can share the gospel with them and they can spend eternity with you. Where are the people who will say, yes, Lord, use me, here I am, send me, God.
It's your death and our love, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your death and our love, so we pour out our praise.
Come on, just the voice and sing it up.
It's your death and our love, so we pour. In our lives, so we pour out our praise to you, holy.
Can y'all give it up for Jesus? Who else is worthy? Who else is holy? Who else is like him? Jesus, I give you praise. I'm reminded of the words of that song in gratitude. All my words fall short. What can I do? All I can do is bring my life before you. I know I sang the wrong words, but that's what it's saying. And I just want to tell somebody this morning, if you're anything like me, you often feel like you're not enough. But God doesn't need you to be Mr. Superstar, have it all together, Mrs. Wonder Woman knows all the answers. God just needs you to say yes. God just needs you to submit to him. That's all he wants. He just desires his people. Like a good father, he just wants his children to all be with him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. Father, you're worthy. God, there's nobody else like you. God, you love us so much. God, I pray that we would just have such a crazy understanding of the love that you have for us, that God, we would allow you to do the work in our lives. That God, the more we trust you, the more that you would have permission to move in our lives. God, this body has laid down the idols. This body has pushed all the things aside that might be in the way. And so, Father, I specifically ask that for Grace Point Church in Irving, Texas, in our homes, in our families, in our lives, God, that you would do the work that you desire to do. That, Lord, you would do the work that you desire specifically for us to do. God, you've set apart works for us to do, good works that bring forth your kingdom. And so, Father, I pray that you would use us to do those things. And whatever it is, Jesus, we say yes. We say yes, Lord. And God, we pray, and our desire is that you would get all the glory and all the honor, that no person, no name of a church, no organization, nothing but the name of Jesus, God, that your name would be lifted high so that every person can see the goodness of the Lord, that every person would turn to you, Jesus. God, we love you. We give you all the praise this morning. And all God's people gave a mighty shout of praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. I didn't ask y'all's permission. I hope it was okay that I preached today. God is good. And all the time.